Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Orca Golf Bags. You golfers know that the golf bag is your biggest piece of equipment, so make it feel like you. Orca Golf Bags stand out in a sea of look-alike products. Orca Golf is the only women-owned golf bag design and build company in the country, and they do more than golf bags. Their gym and leisure bags are catching fire, and golf teams and universities can order in bulk. Visit orca-golf.com to learn more. That's orca-golf.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to welcome my guest, EQ Sylvester, founder and chairman of the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance, USAGA, and founder of the Freedom Golf Association. Welcome to Sports Interview, EQ.
Thanks, Anne. Thank you for the privilege.
Knowing you these last several years, I can say that you are a force of nature in your work for the disabled. You get things done despite what seems to be overwhelming obstacles. You're truly an inspiration, EQ.
And thank you for the compliment. It's really a heartwarming trip and so life-changing for those we touch and those who we include in the game of golf. It's just terrific.
Well, educate our listeners about your own story. Tell us about your background and what happened to you.
Well, I was an international businessman. I worked for the Rockefeller families and I worked for General Motors. Interesting enough, I produced chickens in South America and Colombia and Peru for Rockefellers. Went back to New York to join General Motors and they sent me back to South America to build locomotives. So then I left General Motors to start my own company. And in January 2011, I retired, sold the company, and was ready to enjoy my favorite sport of golf and my favorite hobby of photography. Unfortunately, I got an infection, and it turned into sepsis. I nearly died, except that the hospital gave me a cocktail of antibiotics, which they didn't know was going to happen. Fortunately, I came out of that, but because it was sepsis, I had to go through 12 operations and left 9 months later as a triple amputee. And then I said, what am I going to do with my new body? I said that I could try to swim, which I did. But it was a little difficult to get out of the pool because I didn't have any fingers. It was sort of like a dog, you know, couldn't get out. And then I tried to ride a horse, which I was able to do. We had a lot of fun doing that. And then I tried to hit a golf ball, but I didn't have any fun at that. I couldn't hit it out of my shadow. And so I was looking for adaptive golf instruction, and I found out that there are 20 million physically disabled in our country who want to play golf. And so I said, wow, maybe I could do something about that. So I held my first clinic for a disabled young man who had multiple sclerosis, and he was in a wheelchair. And we taught him how to hold the golf club and how to swing it. He missed a couple times, but then when he did hit the golf ball, it was just amazing to see the huge smile on his face. And afterwards, his caregiver came up to me and said, EQ, you know, this is one of the happiest days in Abraham's life. Do you know why? I said, no, I don't. Well, it's because when he comes home from school, his parents put him on a couch and tell him to watch TV. So there it was, right there, the real example, what golf can do for an individual's life. We helped 178 under Freedom Golf Association in 2013. We grew it exponentially. And in the last year, we had 2019, just before the COVID, we helped 9,499 in Chicago alone play golf. And we have a year-end series. We have the participant of the year, the coach of the year. We train in Chicago approximately 77 coaches. And you need that many, of course, because the ratio about one coach to four players. And so you need that many coaches. And the coaches are really interesting because they're golfers or they're PGA guys. But it's not teaching golf so much as understanding the need of the individual, whether he is physically disabled or whether he is developmentally disabled, you know, suffering from autism or some other developmental problem. And then there's the sensory, those who are, you know, loss of vision. So teaching all of those different disabilities takes real expertise, and our coaches have become experts.
When you first became a triple amputee, how did you learn the game? Was there an instructor out there that taught you how to play, you know, as a triple amputee, or did you have to figure it out on your own?
I kind of figured it out on my own, and then I was able to meet Peter Longo, who developed the program for challenge golfers, and he was quite helpful. But he didn't realize, since he was a single person, he didn't realize how to grow that contribution. So that's what gave me the impetus to put Freedom Golf Association together so we could make an organization that have a greater and growing impact.
I see. And then the USAGA was formed in 2015 by yourself and a group of world-class golfers with disabilities. And it's grown into 38 member organizations, 40,000 disabled golfers, and 26% are wounded veterans.
That's correct. And we also hold competitions. Our members hold competitions. And I would say they're approximately 27 competitions held every year. And then that culminates in the USAGA's Paragolf International, which this year will be held in Dallas. And it's a unique tournament because we're the only one in the United States that holds it. And we hold it in accordance with the International Paralympic Committee and its protocol for establishing classifications for different players. Not all players are the same, of course. So just like in regular golf, you have a men's tee, women's tee, golden tee for the seniors. We'll have different tees for the different disabilities.
Isn't that great? So you have this championship. Players from all over the world can participate. Men, women, all different ability levels. I just think it's fabulous. And how many years has the USAGA been doing this?
We started in 2016 with the first international tournament. And we interfaced very closely with the International Paralympic Committee on how to establish classifications. And we really set up our own, because golf is not recognized in the Paralympic Games yet. But our whole drive was to set the standards for golfers with disabilities. And, you know, it's been well received. And actually, we have gone so far as set up a competition committee whereby we are setting standards for competitions and the rankings of the players in the United States. And so we're very pleased by that. And I would say that that whole system will be published probably by April and distributed across the country.
Before we talk a little bit about Paralympic and what that means, and I know that's one of your ultimate goals is for golf to become a Paralympic sport, I do want to talk about the book. You came out with this book called The Power of Golf, The Game's Positive Impact on the Lives of the Disabled. And I just think it's so powerful because you have a collection of stories from a variety of men and women and what golf has meant to their lives. Can you talk a little bit about the book and some of the stories in the book, perhaps?
Sure. We have noticed that golf has so much power. It's just, you know, a lot of us who played before becoming disabled, it was a question of how far we could hit it. Can we chip it in the hole? Can we putt it? But golf has much more than that. Golf has rehabilitative and therapeutic benefits that you don't notice, as well as providing a sense of camaraderie with those disabled players. Can you imagine you're sitting at home and you don't know how to get out, but all of a sudden there's this opportunity to play golf, meet other people. And these tournaments are very exciting. And so I've noticed and met, of course, all these people, and they all tell me their stories. And I said, let's put them all together in a book, because you have such wonderful stories. And they really set an example for others who may have suffered similar disabilities. And they will understand through this book, I hope, that the power of golf can change your life and make it much more exciting. And so that's why I wrote the book, or had stories pulled together. My daughter wrote the preface, and I wrote a lot of the back story, and really trying to illustrate how great the game of golf is and what it does for people.
I love your daughter's introduction, the preface. Phoebe Kaler, she said, EQ not only hopes his book inspires, but also invites you to join in his passion for inclusion. He believes everyone should be included in the game of golf and respective competitions, but specifically strives to make adaptive golf available wherever possible. Inclusion is really your middle name. How difficult has that mission been to date, EQ?
Well, it depends. The mission itself has been quite easy, because any disabled person or a person with a disability learns about this, they come. There's no hesitation. They join it, and they really enjoy it. My problem is, how do we get the golf world to support it? And, drive, chip, and putt. We should have the disabled people competing as well. And we should have maybe tour of our best players. The number one disabled woman in the world is from the United States. Her name is Patty Barlero. And Chad Pfeiffer, who lost his leg in Iraq, used golf to recover. And he's probably number six in the world. So we have some excellent, fabulous golfers here. And I'm just hoping that the golf world may say, yes, this is somehow we can grow the game of golf. If there are, in fact, 20 million physically disabled who want to play golf, then why don't we open the doors and make sure we can include them all? And it's pretty hard for just USAGA, having got 40,000 players, but, if they're 20 million, that's equal to the number of players that are playing regular golf. So if you want to grow the game, we can double the size practically overnight.
I know, EQ, you and the USAGA have really been the leaders in the movement, the inclusion of people with disabilities in the game of golf. Talk about, how you've been doing this and what you look for in the future as far as the inclusion.
Well, it's interesting. It's new doors open all the time. New ideas come. And what we're working on now is several committees that can drive different aspects of inclusion. And that is, first, we have a women's committee, women's para golf committee, which is driving the inclusion of disabled women in the country. We have tournaments, but very few women come. Maybe we have a tournament of 50, but there would be three women. And we put our committee together, and one of the first meetings, the members and the board members said, do you let women play in your tournaments? Well, of course we do. And they didn't know that. And then they also said, do you have teaching centers around the country? I said, yes, we do. Oh, we didn't know that. So all of a sudden, they're learning what can be done and they can join, and they'll spread the message around the country. Another aspect is teaching. We have over the years established manuals and standards for teaching. We have our workshops where we train teachers, and we're just going to grow that across the country as well. So we're focusing way beyond Illinois, and these committees are just going to make it happen. And as I mentioned before, we have our competition committee, which is presently putting all the standards together, and we're going to have it all online so anybody can see what the results are. They can also see instantly where a golfer is on his round, and then obviously we will have published rankings of our players all across the country.
And I might add, I'm delighted to be a member of that Women's Pair Golf Committee.
Yes,
and
you are.
It's just such a wonderful group of women, so excited and passionate about the game of golf and about providing opportunities for men and women about the game of golf for those who have a disability. And it's just a real, it's just a pleasure for me to help out and to see their passion and their enthusiasm. So how do instructors get certified to teach this community of golfers, EQ?
Well, first of all, we have to be very careful about using the word certified, because if someone's certified and they make a mistake, they can be sued. So we don't do that, but we do certify that the players or the teachers have come to the workshop. And so they have the certification that they graduated from our workshop. And then obviously when we teach, these are programs that, you know, last for different times, you know, 4 weeks, 8 weeks. We will certify that these have graduated from these programs. So the teachers teach, and then they have programs where the youth, we do a lot of youth work, mostly developmental people. And so they get certificates that they've participated in our courses.
I know the organization, there's 38 member organizations as part of USAGA. And so various member organizations are organizing tournaments throughout the country. So how do people hear about these tournaments and how do they enter? And I know more and more people are learning about the USAGA and want to know how to get involved.
They can go to our website and they can see when the tournaments are, where they are, what dates. And so they can sign up going right to that tournament and sign up. And then we're working on communication. We are working to spread the word across the country. And we are asking our members to spread the word in their location. So they do that. Plus, we help fund, not as much as we'd like to, but we do fund our members, especially those who are helping the disabled veterans, wounded veterans play. And we get support from the VA to do that. So we serve as a pass-through from the VA to our members who are helping wounded veterans.
And again, the website is usaga.org. So if anybody wants to learn more about the organization and how to get involved with tournaments and clinics, they go to that website, usaga.org. So your ultimate goal, one of them, EQ, is for golf to become a Paralympic sport. Talk a little bit more about that mission and what it actually means.
Well, there are 30 disabled golf organizations around the world, located in approximately 3 to 5 continents. And that's the basis for having a sport recognized. There are a lot of people sort of involved with the, standards and what can be done and rules and regulations. And there are a couple people that lead it. And then there's some confusion. So it's been very difficult to get golf recognized as a Paralympic sport. Matter of fact, the organization that's supposed to lead it is the International Golf Federation. And they need to apply every 4 years to the International Paralympic Committee. Unfortunately, their application has not been accepted for the last 16 years. And the next opportunity is going to be the Olympic Games in Los Angeles in 2028. And that's all I can say about it. Obviously, some of us don't have patience. We'd rather see the Olympic Games, a golf play in the Olympic Games much earlier than Los Angeles. And as a matter of fact, we were successful in getting an exhibition of disabled golfers in Japan at the time of the Olympic Games over there. But as we all know, COVID has stopped that for last year. And, you know, there's some question. Matter of fact, they're not really accepting an exhibition for 2021. And we have friends around the world who we communicate with all the time. And so we know what's going on. And we're hoping that some petitions that have been signed a couple of years ago will form a basis of saying, yes, let's see what we can do to comply with the needs of the International Paralympic Committee and the so they can accept it maybe sooner than Los Angeles.
Again, the name of the book is called The Power of Golf, The Game's Positive Impact on the Lives of the Disabled. And on the back, I just want to read the little blurb here about golf and that the fact that there are over 60 million disabled in our country, including 13 million combat wounded veterans, 1.3 million amputees, and 1,000 babies born every year with a limb loss. But the game of golf offers an opportunity to them all. Para golf is on the rise in our country and provides an inclusive, life-changing experience of camaraderie and competition for people with disabilities of all kinds. I highly recommend you get this book, read the powerful, inspiring stories in the book, and hear more about what the United States Adaptive Golf Alliance is doing. They get this book on your website. They can order it, EQ.
Yes, I make sure it's on our website. And I'm sorry, I didn't. It's at Amazon.
You can Amazon.com. They can order it. The Power of Golf. Terrific. Okay. And then if they want any more information on the tournaments and clinics and everything the U.S. Adaptive Golf Alliance is doing, they go to usaga.org. That's anything correct, else you want to add, EQ?
No. What I want to do is get rid of all the snow in Chicago and warm up our country so the green grass starts to grow and we're all out enjoying the great game of golf. And thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and effort.
Well, thank you for all you do, EQ. Keep up the great work and let's continue to talk about golf, inclusion, and everything that the USAGA is doing to help people around the world. EQ Sylvester, the founder and chairman of the US Adaptive Golf Alliance. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anne.